Every Christian should be filled with gratitude. It is a mark of the Spirit's work in our lives. It is a key characteristic of what it means to be a believer. It's a fascinating passage in Romans chapter 1 when Paul is describing in a passage that we all point to talk about the depravity of man. You know one of the characteristics of depraved man left to himself is? They do not give thanks. They stare in the face of the glory of God and they are unthankful. Paul says the believer abounds in thanksgiving.
One of those hallmark markers that confirm in us we are in Christ, our thankfulness. That is what we'll explore today as we continue our journey here in Colossians chapter 2. We'll turn our attention to verses 6 and 7 today as our teacher and pastor, Steve Ballantyne, continues our journey through this marvelous epistle. We invite you to join us. This is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church. You'll find us online at sangabrielcommunity.org. And you'll find us in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 right now. With today's broadcast of Growing in Grace, once again, here's Pastor Steve Ballantyne.
The language of John, he would probably say, you've been moved from darkness to light. Having been moved from darkness to light. John might say death to life. Having been moved from death, you are now alive. And so the picture is of a tree. It's a plant picture. And imagine, if you will, a dry, barren desert. And in the middle of this desert is a dead twig. I mean, a dead twig. And that dead twig is representative of you and me. And Paul says this is what happened. God reached down into that dead desert, and he grabbed that twig. And over here is a stream of water. And he went over to that stream, and he took the twig, and he shoved it into the ground, and he planted it. And the moment that God did that, that twig came to life. And that twig had roots that went down deep into the ground and pulled all the nutrients from the soil and enjoyed life that would come from that stream. And now has grown, and now is this tree that has roots deep into the ground that receives life from the soil and the water. That's the picture, that we have been rooted in Christ. We draw our life from him. We are alive in Christ, in the language of Ephesians. That he's not only our original source of life, but he's our ongoing source of life and nourishment and growth. He gives us the power to walk and to live the way we should. See, the appeal of false teaching is always, this is what you can do, this is what I can do. It's always about empowerment of you. You listen to the guys that preach a false gospel. It's all about you, building you up and what you can accomplish and the life that you can experience and the life that you can enjoy and the things that you can do in Christ. And they set aside this rich deposit and begin to move over here and speak of what you can do. And it leads to a sense of self-righteousness. And Paul says, you have been rooted in Christ. It's the picture of Psalm 1. Like a tree that's firmly planted by streams of living water, right? That brings forth fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. Jeremiah picks up that same language in Jeremiah 17 and he quotes the psalmist and speaks of being firmly planted and grounded next to streams of life-giving water. That's who we are in Christ. A dead twig that's been given life and planted down. Now the picture is this. How ridiculous for that dead twig, now that's been planted next to the stream, and now is a flourishing tree, to look longingly at the desert. How ridiculous for that tree that now is new life and new growth and is bearing fruit to think, you know, maybe the secret, once now that I have life, now that I have fruit, now that I've been made alive by this stream, maybe the secret of growth is for me to be transplanted and placed back down in the barren desert. Paul says, really? That would be your desire? Well, of course not, right? Because having been rooted in Christ, we should walk in Christ. That's the first characteristic. We're rooted in him. Secondly, the Christian walk advances in Christ. Not only are our rootings, our foundation in Christ, but that's where growth is accomplished. Having been rooted, he says, you are, and this is in the present tense, and I find this of immense encouragement, having been rooted, you are being built up. Do you hear the difference in the language? Just three quick observations about this. One, it's happening. It's in the present tense. Paul says, for those who have been rooted, they are being built up. I find immense encouragement in that. That God, having planted me by this stream, saying, Stephen, you are dead and you offer nothing, but I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to plant you over here and I'm going to make you alive in Christ and I'm going to grow you into a tree and you're going to bear fruit and I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not done with you. He says, you will experience being built up. If I'm in Christ, then there is growth. No one is planted in the soil who God then doesn't provide the nourishment, the nutrients necessary for growth. Now, it's not always as fast as I would like. Do you feel that? I mean, not about me, but you, right? You feel that about you? It's not always as fast as I would like, but I rejoice in the fact that he is faithful to complete the work he began in me, that he is faithful to complete the work he's began in you. I've talked before about the car that sits out my living room window. I bought it when I was 16 years old, a 1965 Mustang. I like to say I'm restoring the car. What that means is when my dad comes out once a year or so, I try to talk him into doing one more thing on it. That's restoring. But I have in my mind a vision of what it could be again. I have in my mind an end goal of this thing driving again and maybe even letting my kids drive it one day. We'll see. But it's very slow. But I think I'm encouraged by the fact that there's occasional progress. Well, sometimes my spiritual life feels just like that. It feels as slow as the restoration of my Mustang. And there's times in my spiritual life that I wish God would just get me on a reality show and just overhaul me in 3 days, right? That's what I, like, in my heart I want. Like, I want to wake up one morning and just, like, go to the mirror in the bathroom and go, oh, I'm holy. Like, wow, like, overnight, look what he did. But you know what? That's not usually how he works. But even in the dry times, even the difficult times, he says, I'm working on you. The second thing I'm reminded that's related to this is he's not done. It is happening in my life, and he's not done with it. He's not done. He's working on me. He's working on you if you're in Christ. He's trimming us sometimes, but he's seeing that growth. He's building us up. I'm always reminded of this picture when relatives come into town and maybe they haven't seen the kids for a while. And you're watching your kids grow every day. And maybe if you're a kid, you're thinking, remember that when you're little? It's like, oh, I just can't wait to be taller than so-and-so. Can't wait. You're just, oh, 4 feet. Oh, finally, and then 5 feet. Oh, and then it's, your aunt. And then it's your mom. And then it's you're wanting to move up the ladder. And it just feels like you're never going to get there. Then every once in a while, right, a relative comes in. Oh, it looks like you've sprouted up, right? And I pray that maybe it's hard sometimes to detect if you're more holy than you were yesterday, but I pray that you could look back at 10 years or you have someone in your life that's connected to you that says, boy, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and be encouraged by the growth that you've seen, by the progress, and be reminded that God is building you up in Christ. And again, we're reminded it can only take place in Christ. It is in union with Christ, in relationship with Christ, being instructed by him, empowered by him. We don't grow deeper in our knowledge of God by supplementing Christ or adding to Christ, but knowing more about Christ. And that growth is connected to our roots. Having been rooted in him, we are being built up with him. And then thirdly, the Christian walk finds its strength from the truth. Having been rooted in him and being built up in him, we are being established in the faith. Again, we see the establishment is connected to what we've received. We don't move on to bigger things. We don't move on to better things. Our growth, our godliness comes from Christ. It comes from this deposit of faith that we've received. We acknowledge that truth in our first confession that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Lord, and we grow in a knowledge of that truth and a deeper appreciation of that truth. And we don't move on from it. We grow in it. We grow in that belief. And this is the picture again that over here is this nugget of truth that the false teachers would have us set aside and speak of as our heritage and speak of as a good thing, but we've moved on from it. And Paul says, that's not what you do. You know what you do? You take this deposit out and you hold it and you treasure it and you study it. And you know what happens when you study it? You begin to look at it and examine it. You begin to evaluate it. You begin to see how it works and who Christ is. And you study with other people, and you study in church, and you're under the Word. And instead of being this thing that's distant on a shelf that doesn't matter, you find that it just grows. And one of the things that Paul points out at the beginning of chapter 2 that we looked at 2 weeks ago, and we talked about at family camp, is the fact that we do this together. That we're knit in love together and grow in our knowledge. And that our growing in a knowledge of Christ is connected to us being knitted together. You know why that is? Because we help one another see the greatness and the grandness and the glory of this truth. I see this as my job. The way I see Sunday mornings is you saying to me, go to your office and study and show up on Sunday morning, and we're going to look together at this truth, and it's your job, Pastor, to make it look bigger. It's your job to make Christ look more glorious. It's your job for me to see as I walk out those doors into work that Christ is bigger than my problems, and he's bigger than the things I face, and that he is grand. But I'm not supposed to be alone in this. We're to do this together, right? And that's why we're knit together in love. I've spoken of this example before because it was so profound in my life. A friend of mine in seminary who lost a 3-month-old son. It's one of those events that shaped my view of this truth. Because watching him walk through that and trust in the gospel that God had given him and find strength from Christ and find strength in this truth that he had known, you know what happened to this truth? It got bigger. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, God is massive and God is glorious. And this is not something to be put on a shelf. This is something to enjoy and to see the grandness of it and the glory of Christ in the gospel. Paul says you don't move on from it. You grow in your deepening understanding and appreciation for this truth. You are strengthened by it from this truth. And so we ask the question, are you interested in truth? Are you interested in the Word? Do you love the Word? Do you love to study the Word? Do you love to open up your Bible and just read of what God has done and who God is? Are you being changed by the Word and shaped by the Word? Do you desire to know God from his Word? Do you desire to be under the teaching of the Word? Do you desire to be in fellowship with others who are going to confront you with the truth of the Word and speak about what the Word is doing in their lives? And I ask you that, young to old in here, kids in here, youth in here. Is it something you just do? Is it something you just show up at? You kids that would say you're young, maybe you're in sixth grade or junior high or even high school, and you say, yeah, I've given my life to Jesus. Was that something that just happened back here? Or is that something that's real and there's a growing desire in your life to know God more, to know Christ more, to see him for how grand and glorious he is, to be strengthened by others? Having been rooted in him, we are being built up in him. We are being established in him. And then fourthly, we see the Christian walk is full of thanksgiving. It is full of thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now, this is the second time we need to look at something that's technical. It's important. The fourth word he gives here is in a different voice. It's been a long time since high school grammar. It's in a different voice than the other three. What I mean by that, the others are in the passive voice. So you could say it like this: God has firmly rooted you. God is establishing you. God is building up. You be thankful. See, all these other things are things that happen to us. God is the one that roots us. He's the one that strengthens us. He builds us up. So what is our response to that? As the recipients of all the work that God has done in Christ, what's our response? What does he say? Abound in thanksgiving. Abound in thanksgiving. Listen to this. There is no such thing as an ungrateful Christian. There is no such thing as an ungrateful Christian. That's not to say you're not going to have your moments, okay? But when you look at your own life, if it is not full of gratitude, if it is not full of thanksgiving to what God has done in your life, Paul says that is antithetical to what it means to be a Christian. Every Christian should be filled with gratitude. It is a mark of the Spirit's work in our lives. It is a key characteristic of what it means to be a believer. It's a fascinating passage in Romans chapter 1 when Paul is describing in a passage that we all point to talk about the depravity of man. You know one of the characteristics of depraved man left to himself is? They do not give thanks. They stare in the face of the glory of God and they are unthankful. Paul says the believer abounds in thanksgiving. In everything we give thanks. In everything. One of the reasons thanksgiving is such a characteristic of the believer is because thanksgiving is about taking your eyes off of yourself and focusing them on God and on others. Thanksgiving is the result of not looking at ourselves. The great enemy of thanksgiving is pride and self-sufficiency. You see the analogy back in our picture. If I set the work of Christ up on a shelf and I begin to move away and speak of human traditions and speak of rules that I can follow to be more holy and speak of the righteousness that I can attain and knowledge that I can have apart from Christ, what happens to my gratitude? Where's my worship directed? Right here. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. Look at my holiness and my righteousness. Paul says, no, if you take this truth, though, and you just focus on it and cultivate it and enjoy it and deepen in your understanding of it, you know what happens? You thank God for it. Look what God has done for me in Christ. Look what he has accomplished. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I was thinking this morning in the midst of communion, I do not remember. I was saved at a young age. I do not remember what it's like to be under the burden of sin. I was thinking, wow, I sin, and I feel the burden as a believer who commits sins and needs to repent of those sins, but I don't feel the weight of sin, and I don't remember what that feels like. Thank God for that. I can't look at my own righteousness and think I've done that. Thank God for that in Christ, that I don't know that burden, that you don't know the weight of that if you're in Christ. It takes our eyes off self and it focuses on God. And so take a look at your life and ask this simple question. Whatever your age, however old you are, and ask, am I a thankful person? Am I grateful? Now, backward engineer it with me for a second. Work backwards through this. If I'm not thankful, and Paul says Christians abound in thanksgiving, then what's the logical conclusion? I've got some gut checking to do. I got to ask some questions. If I'm not grateful to God, if my focus is self, if my focus is me, and I find myself not being thankful to God, then I've got to ask myself some questions. Listen, kids, this is a question you can ask. Are you thankful for what God has done in your life? Are you grateful? Adults, we need to ask that question. But I'm going to target just for a second on the young people. I don't know where to look anymore. I'm going to find you, okay? But you used to all sit in a group. But young people, listen to me. I think this is a particular struggle for you. I think this is a battle for high schoolers and college students to be thankful. And you think, how big of a deal is that? It's a huge deal. But ask yourself, are you thankful? Watch this. Are you thankful for your parents? You kidding me? They live to ruin my life. Their sole existence is to keep me from having fun and doing, isn't that how some view their parents? Are you thankful for the blessing? Have you thought? So tonight, when you're lying in bed and you're staring up at that spackled ceiling and you're all alone and the day is over, you ask yourself, am I a thankful person? You think about the work and the effort that your mom puts in. You think about the work that your dad puts in for your sake. You think about the fact that you're lying in a bed that's warm and comfortable. You think about the fact that you're in a room that's safe. You think about the fact that you went through yet another day of your life and weren't worried about whether or not you'd find food. But most of all, if you claim the name of Christ, you think about the fact that at one point in time you were dead in your sins, but now you're alive in Christ. And be thankful. Paul says a Christian abounds in thanksgiving. Now I want to show you this and we'll close with this. Go back to chapter 1. Paul gave us some hints that when he gets to chapter 2, verse 6, this isn't a brand new thought. He prayed a prayer for the Colossian church, a prayer that we looked at several months ago now. He says in verse 9, "From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Look at verse 10. What's his prayer? That would result in what? You walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. He prays that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. He tells them who Christ is, and now he commands them, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. This is my prayer for you, the very things I'm commanding of you. Look at verse 11, and listen for the language of being rooted and being built up. That second half of verse 10, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to the glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Same language that he prayed for them, he now picks up in his commands of them. And look at verse 12. He prays that they would give thanks to the Father. Why? Because he has qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. If you will, he has uprooted them from one kingdom and rooted them into another, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Moved us from the desert to the stream. And so these very things are on Paul's heart to pray for this church. He prays this, and then he instructs them in who Christ is. And then he says, okay, in light of all of that, now go do it. Go live it out. Live out the reality of your salvation in Christ. Let's make that our prayer for us as we close. Colossians chapter 1, would you bow your heads with me? Father, I pray for myself. I pray for this body, for this church, the prayer of Paul, that we might be filled with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And Father, as we are filled with that knowledge, as we are growing in that understanding, that it would lead us to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. Father, it is mind-boggling that that is even possible, but you tell us it is, that we can walk in a manner that you find worthy, that is fully pleasing to you, Father, where we are bearing fruit in every good work, and we are increasing, ever-increasing, Father, in the knowledge of who you are. I pray, Father, that we would be strengthened with all power, not power of ourselves, not our own abilities, but the power of Christ, part of the deposit we've received, the good news of Jesus Christ. May we receive that power, Father, and walk in that power and be strengthened by that power according to your glorious might. And Father, that as we grow in this knowledge and understanding of who you are and we receive strength from your power, Father, that that would enable us to walk with patience and joy. And that we would be people marked by thanksgiving, giving thanks to you for everything, but namely of the fact that you have qualified us, that you have saved us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, that you have delivered us from the domain of darkness, and you have transferred us to the kingdom of your beloved Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. And in whose name we pray together this morning, the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Amen.
And you're listening to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. If you'd like to review today's program, we invite you to visit our website, growingingraceradio.org. That's growingingraceradio.org. Review today's program, or simply visit past radio programs you might have missed. More information about who we are is also available, again, growingingraceradio.org, or visit our church site, sangabrielcommunity.org. A lot of other resource materials available there, as well as information, directions, location, and service times if you wish to join us for worship here at San Gabriel Community Church. That's sangabrielcommunity.org or call 626-656-1000. Thank you for joining us. Until next time. God bless. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.